Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packer fans? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It has been a weird week with the holiday weekend of trying to figure out what day is what, but it is Friday. Should be a very fun weekend. Hope you guys are all doing amazing. I know I am doing amazing because of you guys. And what I mean by that is we just hit 25,000 followers on YouTube, or subscribers, I should say. And that just means the world. Thank you guys so much for all the support. This channel is becoming really, in my opinion, something special, not because of anything that I'm doing, but just because of the community it's becoming. Obviously, so many people becoming Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members and subscribing to the channel. It's just been really cool to see. We've been able to do this stuff at the Timber Rattler Stadium. We've been able to do some meet and greets. It's just been a really, really cool experience. So thank you for being a part of that. We do have a brand new Discord channel. I will put that link in the notes for today's show if you want to check that out. We had a fan of the show that put a lot of time and effort and energy into putting that together. So really, really cool. I'm excited about it. So make sure to check that out. And again, I will put that link in the notes. But again, thank you so much for being part of the 25,000 plus subscribers on this channel. If you haven't yet become a subscriber, now would be a great time to do so. Let's get it to 50K, 75K, 100K, and above and beyond even that. So thank you again. Meanwhile, another person in the YouTube Packers sphere need to give a shout out to, and that is, of course, the one, the only, Tom Grassi, doing the international travel. I was wondering, because he did the, obviously, the, every stadium, 30 stadiums in 30 days, and it just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I'm kind of wondering, I'm like, how is the international one going? Of course, he's just killing it, and he's doing, above and beyond even what he did. I think, even though it's fewer stadiums, I think this is, if anyone's traveled internationally, you know the logistics that goes into that. I can't even imagine what he's having to go through with just all of it. So kudos to you, Tom. You are continuously a bastion of, amazing Packers everything. You're everything a Packer fan should be. And you are the perfect avatar for everything that I think we want this fan base to be. So if you have yet to have the opportunity to support Tom, make sure to go out and do so. He's doing tremendous work for St. Jude. It's a phenomenal cause. So again, shout out to Tom, and make sure you're checking out that cause and supporting if you have the means to do so. Meanwhile, just a quick shout out to Packer Report and Cheesehead TV. Always value those partnerships. And Cheesehead TV and Packer Report both have that great partnership with Pack-A-Day that we get to post our daily episodes there every single day. So also make sure that you're keeping Packer Report and Cheesehead TV a part of your daily reading and Packers routine as well, because they are a member of the Pack-A-Day family. So make them a part of your Packers family as well. Only piece of interesting news from an NFL standpoint that I thought that I wanted to talk about just ever so slightly was the idea that the Kansas City Chiefs may use Justin Reed as their kicker with the new kickoff rules. Now, if you're not familiar, Justin Reed is a safety for the Chiefs. If you're also not familiar, he's a very good kicker. He's filled in for Harrison Butker when he's been injured in the past. He's done some kickoffs, both, I think, for Houston and for KC. He's super talented at it. Now, he's not good enough to be a true legitimate full-time NFL kicker, but he's not far off. Like, he's very, very talented at it. But the more interesting thing here is, somebody asked me about the new kickoffs on the, I think it was on maybe the Q&A last week, I want to say. And they're like, what are the skill sets that you need? And my immediate thought was, well, you need hang time. You don't need hang time, right? And I kind of caught myself in the moment, but hang time doesn't matter because the guys can't take off until the opposing kick returner actually touches the ball. You can't leave until he does. So hang time really doesn't matter. Distance matters to an extent. You want to get them closer to the end zone without it going into the end zone, but you don't want to go through the end zone anymore. That's just automatically getting it at the 30-yard line. So distance doesn't matter. Hang time doesn't matter. Direction, I think, matters to some extent. I don't think you want it just going in the middle of the field. However, I think we are going to see some teams utilize two kick returners, one on the left, one on the right, so that whatever directional way that you kick, they're going to have somebody there to immediately field it and then be able to take that up. But, you know, so it is almost more important if you have the leg strength to get it to the point where it needs to. Yeah, I'd much rather have Justin Reed on the field as another player who can go and make a play. You're basically getting, instead of a kicker, you're getting a legitimate player who can go down and make tackles on special teams. That seems like it would be very important with these new rules. So I don't know of anyone on the Packers that could potentially do the kicking. I joked on Twitter, you know, how far can Xavier McKinney kick? But it's an interesting concept and maybe a position that gets thought of in a different way with the new kick return rules. Or if there are players that do have that extra ability to maybe get it down to the 5-yard line that actually are legitimate, you know, good tackling defenders, they could have value now. So it's just, these new rules are going to really change the way that a lot of this stuff is thought about. But I love the outside of the box thinking here from KC and thinking that, yeah, Justin Reed is probably their better option for kickoffs. Also, a piece of this is they don't want Harrison Butker involved in these plays because he's their expert field goal kicker and they don't want him injured. And if he's going to be involved more in tackling because of the new kick return rules where kick returns are going to potentially over triple this year, yeah, I don't know that I would want my, you know, high paid kicker that is really good at kicking field goals on the field in those situations either. So just a very, very interesting way to kind of think about this. And we'll see how all of these different, you know, just changes take place with this new rule going into effect in 2024. All right, that brings us to our main topic for today. And that is going to be our bounce back Packers, our Green Bay Packers who need to bounce back from what was maybe a more difficult 2023 campaign than I'm sure they had hoped, than I'm sure the Packers had hoped, and I'm sure we as fans had hoped. There's a couple different versions of this. Some players didn't have bad seasons, but maybe didn't have the season that they're accustomed to having. Some people we've seen have greater seasons in the past and just need to get back to that level. Other players just had a bad season and need to show that they are capable of putting together a good season. But I've got 10 players on this list who need to have better seasons and bounce back seasons from what they showed on tape and just overall in 2023. And I think starting things off is the most clear and obvious example of this, in my opinion, and that's Jaire Alexander. Here's Jaire Alexander's grades per me since he came into the league. Plus 7.0, plus 8.95, plus 13.55, plus 2.9 in an injury-riddled season, then plus 0.8, negative 1.0. Negative 1.0 last year. His very first negative season that I've ever graded. Now, PFF graded him slightly better and has had a more consistent grade on Jaire. I tend to just disagree with this one, but that's okay. Everyone, that's the beauty of this. Everyone, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder a little bit. But their grades on Jaire, 72.4, 71.9, 90.7. That was the same 13.55 grade for me. Then 73.4, 80.3, and then this past year he had a 75.9. So the 75.9 isn't that different from a lot of his other seasons outside of the 90.7, but let's just kind of focus on that. I would argue that last year was by far and away Jaire's worst season. Not just as a cover guy on the field, but of course had some of the off-field stuff. It just didn't seem to totally jive with what was going on. I know some people just want to put that on the Joe Barry experience. Maybe some of that is true. Maybe all of it's true. There's still certainly a level that you need of professionalism that you need to exude as a corner to kind of get through some of those scenarios. You're not always going to love your boss in life, but you still got to kind of get through your workday. And I thought sometimes last year with Jaire, it didn't seem that he was fully bought in. Maybe understandably, maybe that's the argument here. And I can sort of understand that as well, but he had that, and then, of course, had the coin toss issue. He gets suspended for a game. And just most importantly, the on-field stuff just didn't live up to what we've normally seen from Jaire Alexander. And if you just want to take it even from a PFF standpoint, maybe you're more on their side of things, the difference between that 90.7 season and what we saw from a season ago was still a significant step back, whatever way you want to cut it. Jaire Alexander is such a shatter point for this entire defense. Man, if he plays at that all-pro level and he plays the way that he's capable of and he introduced himself in the locker room the other day as the best corner in the NFL, if he plays that way, whew, that is going to make Jeff Hafley's life a whole heck of a lot easier. That is going to make everyone else's life on defense a lot easier. It's going to allow players to get pressure better. And he has that ability. We've seen it. We've seen it from very early on in his career. He is a talented, talented NFL corner and has just pure raw coverage traits and skills that the vast, vast, vast majority of even NFL caliber corners do not have. If he can really bounce back and be the Jair that we think he can be, that is such a huge win for this Packers team. And by all accounts, he is bought in. He is excited. He's been at every single everything so far this offseason. Came in early. Like, it feels, just from what we've seen so far from Jair, and even just in the locker room, it feels like a completely different Jair Alexander from what we saw a season ago. And I think in all the best ways. And what I mean by that is, you don't want to take Jair out of Jair. His eccentricness, his energy, his personality, all of it is awesome. It's what you want him to be, but you want it to be focused in the right direction. And that's where it seems to be right now. It seems to be in this beautiful, perfect spot. You don't want to take all of that out of him and just have him, you know, and even towards the, after the suspension last year, when he kind of came back and said, you're not going to see the same Jair, like in a way you're like, I don't think that that's the best thing for him either. He needs that energy. He needs that excitement, but he also needs to be motivated and excited to play. And I just don't think he was in that system and in that overall defense. But now we're seeing him excited. We're seeing him 100% bought in. And he's still got that energy and that excitement and that all the things that make Jair Jair are there and prevalent in all the best ways. And if anyone is poised for a bounce back season, I think it is Jair Alexander. And again, such a huge, you know, tipping point on this season for me is what Jair we get. And every indication so far is that we're getting the best version. And if that carries over into the season, like I said, look out. That is going to be a major win for this defense. Hey, friends, I don't know about you guys, but I am getting more and more excited about the NBA Finals coming up. It's certainly looking like it's going to be Celtics-Mavs, but regardless of the matchups, the Finals should be absolutely epic. But of course, they could be even more epic with Prize Picks. The Finals mean more on Prize Picks, and so do the star players. You get boosted payouts on select basketball stars that you will not find anywhere else. And while the Finals promise to be exciting, the hoops action doesn't stop when the Finals are over. Women's basketball is just getting started, and young stars like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and Cameron Brink are immediately making a significant impact in the WNBA. And you, yes you, could win up to 100 times your cash watching them ball out with Prize Picks. You guys know by now how much I'm enjoying Prize Picks. It's completely changed my fantasy sports experience for the better. I'm already excited about my picks for this week. I'm going with Breanna Stewart, and I'm expecting a monster bounce back from Anthony Edwards against the Mavs. I'm still feeling bullish on Caitlin Clark as well, and I'm expecting her to become more and more efficient as the season goes along. So what are you waiting for? Get in on the action with Prize Picks right now. Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Number two, AJ Dillon. This again, if you want to go by PFF grades, not a lot different through his career. 75.7, 81.4, 86.2, and 78.3 grades. For me, plus 2.4, plus 5.7, plus 1.85, plus 1.4. Now, this is another example where all of his grades, both for me and PFF, are in the positive. But I think what we really saw from Dillon last year wasn't a bad running back. I think that is what sort of gets lost in translation sometimes. He wasn't bad. He just wasn't dynamic. And he hasn't been dynamic for the vast majority of his career so far. And doesn't necessarily mean that he has to be a guy that's ripping off 40-yard runs every, you know, game or anything like that. But a little bit more of what we saw, I think, in 2021, when I thought he really played his best football, had that plus 5.7 grade. Listen, Dillon can be a very good blocker. He can be somebody who isn't going to run routes for you, but he certainly is a viable check down option, swing option. Like, you can get him the ball and he's going to catch it. He's got good hands. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside a little bit. I don't think Green Bay's run offense has ever really been tailored quite to what Dylan does best, although there have been times. You want to believe that he's a great short yardage back, but that hasn't really carried itself through the majority of his career. He's definitely somebody that usually struggles in September and then gets better in October and kind of gets better as the season goes along. But we need to see a more well-rounded version of AJ Dillon than what we saw from a season ago. And he's talked about it. He knows that he has to be able to make plays. He knows that he has to be a little bit more dynamic. And that's going to be a really important step to his game this year. Now, he looks completely jacked. Now, whether or not that proves to be something that is actually going to make him a more effective runner, that will remain to be seen. But he looks like he's in phenomenal shape. I did feel like he looked a tiny bit more spry in the practices so far. Maybe that's just due to, pads not being on and things like that. But he does look like he's in tremendous shape. But if Dylan can get back to that, again, plus 5.7 grade, 81.4 grade from PFF, like, that is another player that I still think has a lot to offer this team if he can play at that level. And maybe that is just as a number three back. Maybe Jacobs is your one, Lloyd is your two, and Dylan is your three. Either way, you're going to need Dylan at times this year, assuming he does make the team. We've talked about that. But if he does, you're going to need him. And he has the ability to step up into any role that you give him and be a really solid, serviceable back at worst. But I didn't think we always saw that a season ago. And he's a player that I'm sure on a one-year minimum deal, he gets a little bit more than that because of that contract incentive. But from a salary cap standpoint, minimum deal, if he goes out and has a great season this year, he has the ability to still get a payday. He hasn't gotten a payday, right? He gets a rookie contract that is set for him. Now, he's a second round pick, so it was a solid rookie contract, but it's still a rookie contract. And then he gets basically a minimum deal in the very first opportunity he gets to see free agency. I'm sure that he is hoping for a much better version of that come 2025. And if he wants that, he's going to have to bounce back and play better than he did a season ago. Number three is not necessarily fully Packers related, but I think we have to talk a little bit about Josh Jacobs. Now, I don't have grades on Josh Jacobs because he's not been a Packer. I do plan on going and grading his full season from last year, and we'll definitely do an episode on that at some point. Same thing with Dillard, same thing with Xavier McKinney. We'll definitely get those episodes out there eventually. But with Josh Jacobs, PFF grades 87.1, 76.3, 79.5, 91.6, and then his worst grade ever last year at a 65.0. Going from a 91.6 to a 65.0 is pretty jarring. Now, I went back and I watched a lot of Josh Jacobs tape already, and one of my big conclusions is I didn't think the offensive line and with the Raiders was very good. I didn't think they gave him a lot of opportunity to succeed. But when you're grading him, you're not grading him down on plays that he didn't have the opportunity to succeed. There were still some opportunities there for Josh Jacobs that he didn't make the most out of like he did in 2022. The Packers gave him a pretty significant contract, even if it can, basically, or they can get out of it after 1 year. That's still a pretty big contract for 1 year for an NFL running back. And they're paying him to be the guy that they saw two seasons ago, not necessarily the guy they saw last year. They believe that with this offense, with maybe a better quarterback running things, with defenses having to play, pay a little bit more attention to the passing game than maybe what they did with the Raiders a season ago, that Jacobs can have that bounce back year. But let's make no mistake here either. If he doesn't, if he's just the Josh Jacobs that we saw from last year, Green Bay overpaid. And it's possible they may have even made a mistake in going with Josh Jacobs instead of Aaron Jones, especially if Aaron Jones stays healthy this season in Minnesota. Now, we don't get the benefit of hindsight with that. Goody's taking an educated gamble and thinking that Josh Jacobs at 3 years younger and with a bigger, more physical body is going to be able to carry the load more and have less likelihood of injury. He's playing the odds. If the odds don't come right, you can point the finger and say, haha, I told you so. But he's playing the educated, game here and trying to make the best educated decision that he can. And you can understand why he would want to potentially make that decision. But if Jacobs does not play up to the level that he's capable of, that would be a pretty big miss for Brian Gutekunst in free agency. And it certainly would limit the ability for the Packers to play up to the potential that they have if Josh Jacobs did play like he did in 2022. So I know Green Bay is very much hoping that Josh Jacobs bounces back. I think a lot of people, myself included, are thinking that a lot of 2023 was not Josh Jacobs, but rather the team surrounding him, and he's now in a much better situation. But it's up to Josh Jacobs to prove that this upcoming season. Number four, let's stick with the free agents. Andre Dillard. Now, unlike Josh Jacobs, where you can point to the 91.6 grade the season before, there's not really a season that you can point to with Andre Dillard to be like, that's what he needs to bounce back to. But as I've talked about, this is a first-round pick in Philly that goes through the entirety of his contract, doesn't go according to plan, gets some starts. They try him at left tackle, right tackle. They even try him at guard a little bit. Nothing works. Jordan Mailata, same draft class, seventh-round pick, rugby player, completely laps him and overtakes his spot and becomes one of the best tackles in all of football, quite frankly. Dillard becomes a free agent. And former first-round pick, all the traits, all the talent, Tennessee Titans are like, you know what? We're going to give him every opportunity. We think that the issue is he never really got the great opportunity in Philly. We're going to give him that opportunity. They give him a big contract, 13 mil guaranteed, and he does not live up to it. He has a brutal season, arguably the worst season of his career so far, which is saying something because there hasn't really been a great shining moment in his career so far. He was benched three different times in Tennessee. It was an awful campaign. Tennessee gets off the contract. It was probably one of the worst free agent decisions in hindsight in the entirety of 2022. And Andre Dillard becomes a free agent and Green Bay gives him the bare minimum with no guarantees whatsoever. Andre Dillard, for his sake, needs to have a bounce back and he needs to just show that he's capable of being an NFL offensive tackle, quite frankly. Now he's already lost his starting job, meaning, you know, he was a clear starter going into Tennessee a season ago. Right now he's just trying to earn his job in Green Bay. Now he's got the opportunity to work with the starters because of Zach Tom's injury, but nobody's thinking that Andre Dillard right now is in line to start along the Packers offensive line unless there are those injuries right now. So it is up to Andre Dillard to bounce back, to find all of those wonderful traits that he had coming out of college, and to bring them to the forefront and become that swing tackle that Green Bay desperately needs him to become to provide some additional depth all across the line. Because even though he's probably just a left tackle, right tackle, guys like Jordan Morgan and Zach Tom, who might be a tackle, have the ability to kick inside if you need them to. So those musical chairs can take place at any given moment, but Andre Dillard needs to find a way to find his footing in this league. This might be his last chance, and hopefully he can bounce back from what was arguably the worst campaign of his career in Tennessee. Number five, Eric Stokes. We've talked, again, a lot about Eric Stokes and his career trajectory. Solid rookie season, plus 1.25 grade from me, followed by a negative 3.65 in about half the year, and then last year a negative 0.25 grade in very minimal opportunities. PFF had him at a 65.5, a 53.7, and then this past year, a 51.7. Yeah, Eric just needs to not only just bounce back from this past year, he just needs to bounce back his career. This is a player that Matt LaFleur gave extremely high praise to the other day, saying he's the best that he looked both physically and mentally. And if that is the case, and if Eric Stokes takes a step and he's better than what he put on tape in his rookie year, what a huge win. What a huge win for Green Bay. And hopefully they can get some ROI on what they really put into Eric Stokes as a first round pick and having to really kind of wait through injuries these past, season and a half. He's due for some good luck with health. And hopefully, again, even if he just plays like he did as a rookie, which was fine to good, not great, but as a number two corner, somebody with that speed and somebody with that overall ability, if he can just go out and have a solid season and be a average to good corner, that will be a huge step for this defensive backfield. And he'll still have to compete, in my opinion, with Carrington Valentine, but it definitely would put him as the leader in the clubhouse for that number two corner spot. Again, Matt LaFleur, nothing but praise. We know that Eric needs a bounce back in his career. He did not get his fifth year option picked up. He will be an unrestricted free agent next year. Unless something crazy happens, you know there's not going to be any sort of franchise tag scenario. So this is going to be a sort of put up or shut up time for Stokes if he does in fact want to remain with the Packers. Number six, I don't need to really even go too deep into. Anders Carlson just really struggled as a rookie. He needs to bounce back. He needs to bounce back if he wants to keep his job. And then he needs to bounce back if this Packers team is going to hit the heights that they want to hit. You can't go into games questioning if you can call a field goal because you don't trust your kicker. Or worse, you trust the kicker and he misses the kick. And that's what we saw certainly in that San Francisco game where, you know, you didn't really trust him. You gave him the opportunity anyway, and he misses a big kick. This is a big time issue for Green Bay is the kicker spot. I still believe wholeheartedly they're going to be in a lot of close games, and a point on a missed extra point or a missed field goal could easily be the definition or the distinction between winning the game and losing the game. This is a big time year for Anders. It's a big time year for the Packers special teams. The whole special teams needs to bounce back, but it starts with Anders Carlson. Number seven, I'm not going to spend really any time on, but it's Matt Orzech. Sort of same thing. He really struggled. He had a PFF grade of 35.6 last year. Just not a great long snapper. The snaps were awry, didn't get downgrade in coverage. He now has Peter Bowden from Wisconsin to compete with at that spot. If he does not bounce back, he will not make the team. And, you know, this Packers team just needs consistency at that spot. I don't care if it's Matt Orzech. I don't care if it's Peter Bowden. They just have to set up Anders or whoever the kicker ends up being for success. And I thought Matt Orzech did not do a great job of that this past season. Number eight, Josh Myers. All right, so best football of his career. Listen, I will look you in the eye, and I know you guys support me and support the show. I will look you in the eye and tell you if Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and Adam Stenovich and, you know, Luke Butkus and the entire Packers crew are telling you that Josh Myers is playing his best football, spoiler alert, those guys know more than I do. Just is what it is. So go ahead and take their word for it. I would, all right? But just going off of my own two eyes, my grades on Josh Myers, rookie year, plus 0.1. I was very impressed with Josh overall in his rookie campaign. Negative 4.15 the year after, negative 4.7 last year. Now, I've also said, I don't think Josh quite, you know, gets quite the credit that he deserves for the checks at the line, the communication, making the right calls and communicating things with Jordan Love. I do think he does a very good job of that. That's a pretty decent size piece of the position that I'm not grading because I can't hear those things, right? I can't grade, you know, what I don't know in that situation. I can't grade what communication he's having. But by all accounts, he does a really great job with that level of the game, which is important and probably why he gets some of the praise that he does from inside the building. But as a pure blocker, run blocking, pass protecting, I think there's still a lot to be desired. And I personally still thought he had the worst season of his career this past year. PFF, 54.9 in his rookie year, 60.4 in year two, 54.7, worst grade that they've had him at this past season as well. I'm not willing to say that I am still a Josh Myers believer and think that he can be a Pro Bowl center or anything like that. I do still think there's enough there to be a good, competent, solid center. This kind of goes with the Eric Stokes rookie year. If he can just get to that level where he's just breaking even, I mean, I can't tell you the difference from my grading scale of between a even player and a negative four player. That's going from solid, you will accept that level of play as a, you know, neutral type player to somebody that's literally costing you game after game. I think there's still something there where he can become that net neutral player. I don't need him to be a massive positive. If he wants to do that, that'd be great. But if he can just be neutral, that would be a huge step. But I'm not necessarily in agreement with the best football of his career. I think he still can play the best football of his career. That's what I'm hopeful for, but he needs to bounce back, have a much better 2024 as well, as is everyone on this list. Next on my list is Quay Walker. This is a little bit of a tougher one to sort of define. What is he bouncing back to? Now, he had a rough first season, negative 3.4 grade for me, 52.0 grade for PFF. And then last year, he improved to a negative 2.15. So that's from negative 3.4 to negative 2.15. That's a jump. And then from PFF, he went from a 52 to a 58.5. That's a jump as well. I personally saw, and I think PFF clearly did as well, improvement from Quay Walker from year one to year two. Now, it wasn't the big time improvement that we were hoping for. It wasn't, you know, anything nearing a really good starter or Pro Bowl caliber starter at inside linebacker, but there were incremental signs of improvement. I thought he put a better season together. And the hope is that there's just a trajectory here, that he can continue that growth pattern. So I can't say as certainly that this is a bounce back. He could just be progressing and sort of on track to become a good linebacker. And sometimes that takes a little time. And at linebacker, a lot of times we see that in year three. But what I'll also say is that this is a former first round pick that Green Bay had a lot of expectations and high hopes for that he has not lived up to yet. This is an opportunity. He has the opportunity to get his fifth year option picked up if he has a really good season. And then, you know, probably get a big contract after that. But if he doesn't, well, then I don't know that he's going to get that fifth year option picked up. And that could leave him, you know, leaving Green Bay in what, two seasons? So this is a big season, I think, for Quay. I think this is really the telling season. Are we seeing that consistent growth? Can he play even better? Can he play his best football? Or is Quay just what he is? But I think there's still a level and an opportunity for him, maybe not bounce back, but just continue to bounce forward in the right way. And he certainly can't bounce back in 2024. All right, last but not least, number 10 on my list is Keyshawn Nixon. Keyshawn Nixon, from a corner grade standpoint, plus 0.65 to negative 2.45. Now, that came with a lot more snaps, which is, I think, why he was thrown much more into the fire. But PFF had a, you know, 61.2 grade on him a year ago, 60.0 last year. So he was a slight decrease as well. It's not brutal. I thought he got better as the season went along, but I thought there were still some things that Keyshawn can do better at corner. But the bigger one here is his returning. In 2022, once he got the opportunity, he was ultra dynamic, you know, just a threat to take it to the distance at any given moment. Now, we didn't see quite as many returns, and I don't know that he was blocked up for it quite as well last year, but his kick return yards dropped a full almost yard and a half per return. And his punt return yards went from 12.7 yards per return to 6.8. He had one touchdown in 2022, none in 2023. He had no muffed punts or fumbles in 2022. He had two muffed punts in 2023. We didn't see quite the same level of returner. And I thought there was still work to be done at corner. I am unbelievably bullish on Keyshawn Nixon as a returner with these new kick return rules. We'll see if he gets any opportunities to do punt returns. That could just be a Jaden Reed thing or maybe even someone else. And then as a slot corner, I'm still semi-hopeful. I saw some good stuff at the end of last year, and I hope we can carry that over. I'm hoping he can be even a better fit in Jeff Hafley's defense as well. So I think there is opportunities for Nixon to just kind of bounce back both as a corner and as a returner, but that especially that returner part, we didn't see quite, I know he was still first team all pro, but we still didn't see quite the same guy in 2023 as we did in 2022. With the new rules, he should get every opportunity to blow everyone out of the water and show just how dynamic he truly is as an NFL kick returner and why he's won two first team all pros for his return ability. So the 10 guys that need to bounce back in 2024, Jair Alexander, AJ Dillon, Josh Jacobs, Andre Dillard, Eric Stokes, Anders Carlson, Matt Orzek, Josh Myers, Quay Walker, and Keyshawn Nixon in no particular order. That's going to do it for me today. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. What do we got? Shoutouts for our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members. Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, and Arnaldo Espinoza. I'll be right back here tomorrow, so make sure to check that out. Just did our members-only episode. Went over all the Packers that are going to have to stay healthy if this team wants to make a run towards the Super Bowl. We've got some great Ross Uglum content coming out, so it's a really great time to be a Pack-A-Day podcast subscriber. Thank you to all the 25,000 of you plus, and of course, all of you that are subscribed on the audio channels as well. You're the absolute best. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Hope you have an amazing weekend. But until next time, and as always, go Pack-Go.